The time for empty talk is over. Now arrives the hour of action.
It's time for the John DePietro Show on News Talk, WNRI, 1380 AM and 95.1 FM.
He's a special kind of sentinel.
Mr. DePietro, who is in the eye of the storm.
Suddenly, John DePietro became the story.
Radio talk show host, John DePietro.
Here we go. Welcome to the Power Hour. Folks, good afternoon. It's John DePietro. It is the John DePietro Show. It's time for Political Monday. This portion of the show is brought to you by Kay's, 1013 Cass Avenue in Woonsocket, right across from CBS, whether it's lunch, dinner, or a drink in the lounge. You know, I love it. You open up the napkin, boom, there's the menu. Steak sandwiches, roast beef, tuna salad, corned beef, roast turkey breasts, pastrami, lobster roll. They're waiting for you at Kay's, whether it's lunch, dinner, or a drink in the lounge. 1013 Cass Avenue, Woonsocket, right across from CBS. Good afternoon to everyone tuning in on Facebook Live. Facebook Live brought to you by EliteWirelessRI.com. EliteWirelessRI.com. It is Political Monday. Folks, 2 weeks from this Wednesday is the primary. Joining us right now, he is the managing editor, OceanStateCurrent.com. We want to say good afternoon to the one and only Justin Katz. Good afternoon, Justin.
Good afternoon, John. Great to be with you.
Justin, I want to start off with, it's tough to get away. I spoke with Director Alvedi a short time ago. He said it was definitely the decision by DOT. Governor Raimondo was actually on Block Island last week, maybe somewhat removed from some of the problems going on. But it's tough to come away from all the problems with the Washington Bridge. And I think the Providence Journal editorial on Saturday certainly had some impact of who in their right mind would plan an 18-month bridge construction project where people are, their commutes are extended by an hour, as you're 3 weeks away from a primary right in before an election. And then the timeline just, it just doesn't add up. I mean, on, they had the problems. And then on Thursday, Director Alvedi had a press briefing underneath the bridge late in the afternoon where he showed the press the deterioration and the problems, structural problems with the Washington Bridge and why this was so necessary. On Saturday, the editorial hit. Yesterday, they suddenly announced they were going to have a 3 o'clock press briefing. They did. And then last night, they actually repaved over parts of the roads that they had dug up. They completely are hitting pause on it. Earlier last week, the DOT said they had no plans to pause it. And I'm unclear exactly what possibly could have changed. It's tough to wait to come away from this other than just that. Well, I'd love your thoughts. I got to think in some way that politics had to enter into this, that the governor suddenly realized that how much this was destroying her, you know, message as this was leading into the primary.
Well, I'm sure that was the biggest part of it. I was coming back from, you know, the far west of Connecticut last night. And I couldn't believe on the westbound side around 9 o'clock at night how far back the traffic was on 195 West. And that's, it looked like something you would expect out of on a Sunday night. I mean, if the bridge had fallen down or there was some natural disaster or something, you know, there were news reports of people actually turning around and driving the wrong way into breakdown lanes.
Yes.
Just to get out of there. It was taking so long, and abandoning their cars. It's like the blizzard in Providence. People just leaving their cars. Okay, I'm out of here. This is too much for me. The idea that this would happen, and then during the commutes last week, the idea that this would happen on a planned construction phase with no natural disaster, it's not like they started setting up and the bridge collapsed or anything like that. This was what they should have anticipated. And I wonder how much of it, the initial response was an expectation that for some reason, Rhode Island commuters were just not getting it the first couple days and things would settle down, and they didn't really, which suggests that the models that they used and the planning really didn't work out all that well. So I think that's really where the impetus for all this comes from. I don't think they would have knowingly entered into this construction phase without, you know, if they knew it was going to be this bad. And so it goes right back to the general sense that the governor's administration just isn't very good at organizing things or keeping things under control. And then you get the political angle where the quote from Governor Raimondo was, ask DOT, a traffic engineer I am not. I mean, we say again and again, you never get the sense with this governor that she understands the need to be out front and forceful with the "I'm going to roll up my sleeves" kind of attitude. And I think all of that's combining to make this where they really have to change their approach to this project, which is kind of, I mean, from what I've been reading, it's already a year behind and $1 million over budget. So they're going to extend it now because they have to do it more slowly. It is another debacle in the state, and it's certainly coming when it does. It's going to be an issue for her.
You know, you're exactly right. I mean, no one would ever accuse Governor Raimondo of the buck stops here, Justin. I mean, you can point to different examples where that tends to be her response, as if it's not her problem. You know, and everyone, you know, talks about when she'd be getting into an elevator last spring and someone would say, "What's the latest with the PSOC?" She would say, "Go ask the speaker." Last week she said, "Go ask the DOT and a traffic engineer. I am not." I'm looking at, it was Friday's Providence Journal, and the headline is, "Washington Bridge, 195 delays likely to become worse." And the DOT was saying, okay, school is going to be starting on Wednesday. We expect them to get a bit worse, several minutes being added on to the time. And Governor Raimondo, seemingly at a Wednesday event in Pawtucket, just, you know, there's going to be an impact. Well, we're trying to minimize it, but go ask the DOT. It's almost like it's not her problem. And what I think is, and I'll give him credit, but former Providence Mayor Buddy Cianci, he used to talk about the politics of snow. And that is that, you know, when it comes to people paying attention to politics, a lot of people don't, or they don't fully understand. You can massage revenue numbers to look a certain way. You can spin education numbers to look a certain way. But if a guy is looking out at his street and there's 6 inches of snow on the ground and the plow has not come down, there's no way to spin that, hey, listen, your street is fine. The guy knows that no one has plowed his street. I would argue, and I have heard, then immediately last week, the Raimondo people started to see their poll numbers going down, especially in the East Bay. This is one of those things that people understand. They may not understand all the elements of her platform, what makes her different than Matt Brown, whether or not she's brought in more jobs, has not brought in more jobs. But voters can understand their commute is now an hour longer because the sitting governor ordered this construction project. And I think that think about that, Justin. What changed between Thursday? The only thing that changed between Thursday and yesterday was the journal editorial and the thought that things are actually going to get worse starting on Wednesday.
Right. Well, I think that's it. You can weather this storm for a couple of days, and then people get used to, you know, they grumble because it's a disruption in their lives, but then they get used to it and it starts to ease up a bit. But when it doesn't, and people are then saying, yeah, it's even going to get worse than this, that's a formula for disaster. And especially in Rhode Island, the people out here on the East Bay, we're very conscious of the difficulty of getting over to that side of the state. I mean, that's why people joke about packing a lunch when they have to just run an errand over in Providence, or getting a hotel room, rather. Because it is. You've got essentially two choices, and otherwise you're going way out of your way. So people are aware of that, and it does really hit home if you've built your life around an ability to commute in that direction pretty quickly. And don't forget, this goes right to one of her minor, or I won't grade the size of the success, but one of her successes has been this campaign advertisement talking about how small Rhode Island is and is fun sized, and that only works if you actually can get from place to place in a good amount of time. So it goes right to a lot of weaknesses, I think, and a lot of sensitivities that Rhode Island has.
It is. I mean, one of the real selling points that we all put up with about living in the state, and it is true, it is just, it's supposed to be that it's no hassle to get around. And years ago, when they had the, you know, the big dig and everything else, that really made Green Airport, which was go green, it's no hassle. And we expect, okay, so there's corruption, there's high taxes, there's limited opportunity career-wise, but you can zip around the state, get anywhere 15, 20 minutes. When you start to play with quality of life and now start to give people a commute, comparable to a New York City, Los Angeles, or Boston. I mean, that's when you really start to lose the crowd. I also want to get your reaction, Justin. Now, Governor Mundo, she is still refusing to debate progressive Matt Brown. And I spoke with a Democrat operative over the weekend that told me the race is actually getting much tighter. Let's face it, Governor Mundo's had a tough month between not debating the PawSuck situation. Then you hit that with the traffic situation. And she, how much, I mean, she sent out that vicious attack mailer against Matt Brown to all, you know, Democrats, comparing him basically where he's like morphing into silhouette of President Trump, calling him a fraud, a con man, he's stiff people, financial, she even talks some very serious accusations, not what you think. What does that mailer tell you about the status of the race?
Well, I mean, the common wisdom is that when you go negative, there's some blowback. It's, you always lose something when you do it, and you're just hoping you tar the other person. So that suggests that her camp does feel like there's something there, that he's got some momentum they've got to knock down, even if it costs her some support on her left. And so that nervousness starts to come through in that flyer. Because he just put out an ad recently, a TV ad, I think it was, talking about how Governor Raimondo is essentially a Republican. So we've now entered a phase of, I would call it, I know you're Trump, but what am I in this race?
I like
and
that.
It's really just a matter of who's going to be hurt more by tar, and Matt Brown being the more ideologically close to his left-wing base, I think people are going to kind of scoff at the idea that he's the Trump character in all this. And if anything, going into that kind of nasty name calling is going to make her campaign look a little bit more like President Trump's. And I think that could be an issue for her. Although the one thing I would say is she's somewhat fortunate, like Donald Trump, in her opposition, because if you look at Matt Brown, he can't credibly he's kind of so far left, he can't credibly capitalize on her problems. So he can put out press releases and do interviews talking about how horrible it is that we've got this infrastructure issue or their hospitals closing, but that appeal is most often used to people who are more or less on the right, who want to see an improved economy and that sort of thing. And nobody, I don't think, on that entire wing of the ideological spectrum is going to believe that his essentially socialist views are going to correct all of those issues. So it's really, he can only play to his base in that regard. And that's going to be the question all around, I think, the state this year, is how much that progressive base actually can, how much muscle it can actually bring to bear in elections.
And it's true. And again, folks, good afternoon. It's John DePietro. It is the John DePietro Show. It's Political Monday with managing editor, OceanStateCurrent.com, Justin Katz. You know, Justin, it's still 15 days out. I mean, the primary, is 2 weeks from Wednesday. The next 2 weeks are pivotal. And Brown, for the way I understand it, his momentum is definitely up. His numbers are going up. She's going down. What I also find interesting about Governor Raimondo is it's one thing if you completely ignore your competitor, such as, Congressman Cicilline is running against an opponent he's not even going to acknowledge. Governor Raimondo, I'm not even going to debate him. But when you send out an attack mailer on him, I was told that there's been this back and forth within the Raimondo campaign. Do we ignore him or do we not ignore him? But the mailer tells me that they are feeling that they can't ignore him because then they had to acknowledge him. But if you got to acknowledge him, I know, you know, Mayor Fung has gotten criticism. He's not debating his opponents more. But I don't see, or I'm unfamiliar with, if he's sending out, I haven't heard of any attack mailers, against Rep Morgan and Giovanni Ferosi. But the fact that Raimondo needed to send out a vicious attack piece on Matt Brown, I think that they are seeing him in the rearview mirror. But the question is, in the next 2 weeks, can he mobilize enough of that progressive base to get out and really make this close between him and Governor Raimondo, if not surpass her? I don't know.
Yeah, and that's going to be an open question. And whether Brown can make anything of it, I'm not sure. I mean, one area he could start to draw over the next 2 years, start to draw parallels, is you can kind of see the connection of of this campaign, her campaign's sort of posture on this, with, as we said, you know, the ask the DOT syndrome. You know, I'm not an engine. I'm not a traffic engineer. Ask my engineer guy. It's this aloofness, and that might be what we're seeing with the campaign as well, where she's not going to fly make that call. She says, "You are my campaign professionals. I've raised millions of dollars to pay you to make these decisions. You go out. If you think they're flyers, you send them whatever. Call me when you need me to make a TV commercial." And if that attitude can be connected between the campaign and the her performance as governor, Matt Brown might have a good talking point over the next couple of weeks to really raise doubts about Raimondo. Whether that does him any good as an opponent, I mean, bringing him up, that's a separate matter. But that is one angle, because it does seem to be that idea that she's the manager. She's just telling her pros what to do and not going to make these decisions herself. And that could hurt her not only in a primary, but if that idea takes hold during the general campaign.
You know, it's also funny, and then we're going to move on, but even when she was asked about not debating Matt Brown, she said, "Talk to the campain." Like I have nothing to do with it. Talk to the campaign. It's a strategic decision, but talk to the campaign about that. She is no one would ever accuse her of the buck stops here. I mean, it's like Paw Sox, talk to the speaker. Bridge construction, talk to the DOT. You're not going to debate Matt Brown? Talk to the campaign. Almost like a long for the ride. I mean, it's really incredible. So,
and that's exactly what that's exactly what we elect governors to do. Nobody really actually expects them to know everything about the job of running the state government. That's why you get business people come in. That's why you get people running credibly even now who have no real managerial experience to speak of. We elect them to make the decisions we would want to make if we were sitting at the controls listening to our pros. And it almost seems like her method is, you know what, I just don't make the decisions. I tell my people to make the decisions, and meanwhile I can fly off to California and raise some money. That's kind of the narrative that's settled in, and a lot of the story of the next couple months is going to be whether she can shake that. And we're not seeing any signs that she even has identified the problem, because she keeps making these comments that go directly to that narrative.
I, again, spoke with a Democrat, high-level Democrat operative over the weekend, and said one thing that the Raimondo people are concerned about is what she calls the lazy Democrat, and that is the way they look at this is Senator Whitehouse has no primary, so you don't have his supporters going out to vote. Cicilline has no primary, so you don't have his supporters going out. Providence does have a mayoral primary. We're going to talk about that in just a second. The lieutenant governor race, Ruggenberg, I think he's definitely going to have his people out. But this person described one of the problems potentially for Governor Raimondo is that how many Democrats are really going to go out and are really motivated to vote for her on primary day. And that is the thing that could make it close, compared with both you and I know. One thing about progressives is they're highly organized, they're smart, and they do go out and vote, and they've got a number of their people. I'm very anxious to see how both that Maura Walsh does and how that Marsha Ranglin does as the, you know, Team Matty Yellow. They're looking to knock them out. But I'm very anxious to see how those progressives do in their Democrat primaries.
Right, and one quality I'd add to progressives, being somewhat doubtful about intelligence, is they are dedicated and willing to do things that seem ridiculous or fruitless, like, I don't know, cementing themselves into a garbage can in the middle of the highway.
That's right.
But there was video recently, they set up these large tripods to try to block an immigration center in Massachusetts. And, you know, what's going to happen? The cops lowered the things and got them out of there. You're blocking a road into the facility. But they'll do crazy stuff. And that includes taking out a governor who is more or less on your side in order to prove a point about her not being far enough to the left. And that's the big danger, especially as the Democrats around here seem to be relying more and more on sort of vote buying mechanisms of mail ballots and that sort of thing. When your poll workers show up to somebody's house with that ballot, if they've had a progressive neighbor in their ear about a different candidate, they might not give you the ballot you were paid to go out and get. And that could be one of the real major problems for Democrats in this race, especially Gina Raimondo, if they're not far enough to the left. And she might even get caught up in the left-right battle, say, between Matty Yellow and Moira Walsh that some journalists are starting to find telltale signs of. And that could make things especially difficult for her in those motivated districts like Providence.
Something that's been somewhat not, I don't think, covered enough with this whole bridge debacle with Gaino Street, Washington Bridge, is the fact that anyone that spent any time, the city of Providence is a wreck right now. The city of Providence is completely under construction. Anyone that goes around the east side, and people are finding that, you come over the Henderson Bridge to try to avoid the 195 problems. The east side Providence is just completely a wreck under construction. And you do have the primary coming up September 12th. Now, it has not gotten a lot of attention. Obviously, 4 years ago, the Providence mayoral race, because of CNC, got a lot more attention. You had that famous, at the last moment, Brett Smiley pulled out of the race, threw his support in with Mayor Loiza. You know, it's funny, Justin, they both swore there was no deal. As a result of him pulling out, they then defeated Michael Solomon, who was the city council president, who would have won that primary. They swore there was no deal, and then after Loiza was elected, Smiley became the basically the, whatever you want to call him, vice mayor, or he was, they had a chief of staff, so he was almost like the deputy mayor. But I was speaking with someone over the weekend that swears that although it's not getting a lot of attention, that the Providence Democrat primary is going to be much closer than people think between Mayor Loiza, that DeRobio, but the candidate that people claim has momentum is this Kobe Dennis. It's not getting a lot of play. I know there was just one debate, I believe, a couple weeks ago. Alorza does have a big stockpile of money. I did see also Dan McGowan reported a lot of mail ballots are out on this. But do you have any pulse or sense on this Democrat primary for mayor of Providence?
I wouldn't say I have any inside information, but one thing you can just analyze in this is Mayor Loiza is facing something that Gina Raimondo is not. She's got two left-wing competitors, so Dickinson and Matt Brown, Matt Brown being the one getting the most attention right now. But nobody's attacking her from the right at the same time. And I don't know a whole lot about DeRobio or even Kobe Dennis, but my sense is that Kobe Dennis is more likely to be tap into the progressive wave than DeRobio is. In fact, DeRobio's faced some sort of culturally attacks on cultural leftist identity politics issues. And so if those two can sort of peel apart Loiza from either side, that could be a big issue. And also DeRobio has been in the, you know, he knows his way around the educational establishment in Rhode Island. And one of the areas where Loiza's had a lot of difficulty is with teachers and their contract. So there is some potential. I haven't seen any numbers giving any sense of what it could mean, but there is some potential for those two sides to pull away enough of Loiza's vote to lose him the primary.
We're going to come back, excuse me, with Justin Katz. We're going to ask him to hold on just for a moment, folks. And we're going to come back with Justin Katz on this Political Monday. But I want to, again, remind you to visit, you know, this is the perfect time of year to visit Rhode Island's number one garden center, PR Landscape Materials and Garden Center, located 3688 Quaker Lane in North Kingstown. It's Steve, it's Debbie, it's Junior, it's Byron. You can call them at 295-4399. They're right off of Route 4. Right across from Allie's Donuts, next to Allie's Tack Shop, is Rhode Island's number one garden center, and it's PR Landscape Materials and Garden Center. Fall mums, kale, ornamental peppers, all ready, all colors, grown on the premises. Sizes start at 4 to 12 inches pots and hangers. Still a beautiful selection of perennials, of trees and shrubs. Remember, the best time to landscape your yard is in fact the fall. So September, October, temperatures starting to drop, less watering is required. You wouldn't think that today or tomorrow, but at PR Landscape Materials and Garden Center, they have trees and shrubs there for the do-it-yourselfers, or schedule a free estimate and they'll do it for you. Folks, PR Landscape Materials and Garden Center, they're open 7 days a week. Stop in to Rhode Island's number one garden center. Look for them on Facebook at PR Landscape Materials and Garden Center. They're open tonight till 5, 7 days a week, 3688 Quaker Lane in North Kingstown, right next door to Allie's Tack Shop, across from Allie's Donuts, down the street from Tarbox.
PR Landscape Materials and Garden Center. It's John DePietro. It is the John DePietro Show. We're coming right back with Justin Katz on this Political Monday. Stay with us.
Ladies and gentlemen, the president and founder of Uncle Tony's Pizza and Pasta Restaurants in Cranston, East Providence, and Johnston, Mr. Edward A. Carosi.
I remember when I was a kid, and on those hot summer nights, we'd all be sitting on somebody's front stairs. The only sound you could hear was squeaking screen doors and porch swings. And the smell of citronella never seemed to stop those mosquitoes from biting anybody. We'd all talk about growing up and what we'd become, and it was one of the few times during the week that the conversation would actually get serious. Those years were filled with everything that was fresh, real, and wholesome. And those memories are the reason we try to bring you a little bit of old-fashioned goodness and freshness 7 days a week at every Uncle Tony's Pizza and Pasta Restaurant.
This week at every Uncle Tony's, try their chicken cutlet parmesan. Tender golden brown chicken cutlet, ladled with their famous pasta sauce and baked in a blanket of mozzarella cheese to bubbling perfection. Served with a steaming plate of pasta, soup, or salad. And their custom baked crusty Italian bread, all for just $13.95. Visit them on Facebook or go to UncleTonys.com for more information.
Folks, Gilmore Furniture, Post Road and Warwick, stop into Gilmore. Now is the perfect time. Living rooms on sale. No extra for fabric or color change. Nobody beats Gilmore Furniture on recliners or lift chairs. Gilmore Furniture, Post Road and Warwick, right down from TF Green Airport. You can call Steve. Good afternoon to Steve and everyone at Gilmore Furniture, 737-0100, located right off of 95, Route 37, centrally located. Remember, at Gilmore Furniture, everything is American-made. Nobody beats Gilmore. Gilmore Furniture, when it comes to recliners or lift chairs. Hey, and if there's any problem, they'll do repairs immediately. How about a new mattress from Gilmore Furniture? Double-sided, the kind you can flip over, get extra life, firm, extra firm, plush, or pillow top, and the best prices around at Gilmore Furniture. Free delivery, free disposal, and don't be fooled by those big box stores. There's no lower prices or better selection than at Gilmore Furniture, Post Road in Warwick. The service is tremendous. Stop in. Listen, this fall, how about relaxing in a nice recliner or a lift chair and watching the Patriots? Or it looks like the Red Sox. I don't know. They're definitely into the playoffs, but the Yankees are closing in, only six games back. You'll enjoy all the action in a nice recliner or lift chair from Gilmore Furniture. And you want to be able to sleep well with a new mattress from Gilmore Furniture. Beautiful living room sets. Gilmore Furniture, the best service. Remember, no one beats a deal from Gilmore Furniture. Easy to get to. Located right off Route 37, centrally located, Post Road in Warwick, right down the street from TF Green Airport, and free delivery anywhere in Rhode Island. Call Steve, 737-0100, Gilmore Furniture, Post Road in Warwick. Folks, we're back. We're going to wrap up with Justin Katz. Made it together. OceanCreekCard.com on this Political Monday.
Justin, just two other quick races I want to ask you about. Number one, any thoughts on the Democrat primary between current Lieutenant Governor Dan McKee and also progressive extreme Democrat Aaron Ruggenberg? Both have raised a lot of money. Charter schools really backing Lieutenant Governor Dan McKee. Any thoughts or observations on that race as things stand?
Well, one thing, McKee is certainly engaged in a way that other, you know, we've been talking about how the people who are in the lead, Governor Raimondo, Alan Fung, aren't really engaging their opposition quite so much in this campaign cycle. And McKee's been starting to really engage a bit more against Ruggenberg, but surprisingly not hitting him as hard from the right as you might expect. He's trying to have it kind of both ways, and he may, because Ruggenberg is so far to the left. But Ruggenberg does have a good bit of money, and he's out with a flashy TV ad that might appeal to, you know, younger progressive feel-goody types. So it's definitely a race to watch. It still kind of boggles my mind that anybody's going to buy anything that Regenberg's selling, because he's never really done anything or had accomplishments outside of, you know, brown activism and local politics. So we'll see where that race goes. It's going to be definitely one of the tells in for this election cycle.
I agree. Although I think that commercial that Regenberg has, whoever did that, I think it's pretty good. Opening the doors, the lobbyists, the whole thing. Again, if you don't know a lot about him or know about a lot of his progressive beliefs, he definitely tries to come across as like a good government, you know, the lobbyists, the spending and everything else. Whoever did that campaign commercial, it's pretty good. And finally, you know, the bridge construction kind of took away a lot of attention of the race for governor. Obviously, we have all three candidates this Friday with the debate in studio. Any thoughts, just your thoughts, I'm curious, on how the race sits right now. Gubernatorial, Republican primary, Cranston Mayor Alan Fung, Representative Patricia Morgan, and also businessman Giovanni Ferrosi.
Well, the first thought that comes to mind is I'm actually surprised, even right now watching my Twitter stream, there's Patricia Morgan still pushing on this chicken theme. So apparently, unlike me, she doesn't think that the issue is debating the chicken, as I called it last week. That's surprising to me, and I'm kind of curious what feedback she's getting. There may be some kind of echo chamber effect going on there, and because it's certainly not reaching Alan Fung, and he shows no signs of feeling like he's pressured to go out and debate more than he's already pledged to do. So I don't think much has changed in that race. It's just kind of, there's almost a farcical element to parts of it that on the conservative side of the state and the Republican side of the state, I suspect people are going to be pretty glad one way or another when this primary season is over.
Final question, Justin. I'm curious what you think of the, and I'm telling you, every day I'm getting emails from people saying, how can I get one of those ABGs, anyone but Gina signs? What effect do you think that has? There's some billboards that are up. There are signs out there. What effect? That's pretty dramatic. I don't remember. There was certainly, well, Chafee didn't run for re-election. Kachiri was term limited out. Lincoln Allman won, and there was nothing like that. I'm trying to go back. Even you go back to DePreet and Sundland, there was nothing about anyone but DePreet. Sundland lost in the primary to Mirth York. I never remember. I think it is, and again, the word unprecedented. I can't recall, I should say, a primary for governor as far as anyone but Gina type of thing, with her name there with the line through it. What do you think of that, and what effect do you think it has on the population and potentially her candidacy?
Well, I think the key question, and I say this as somebody who's somewhat skeptical of the race every election season to get a whole bunch of yard signs out. I mean, name recognition is important, and human beings will always say, well, you know, I don't know who to vote for, so I'm going to vote for the one I've seen all those signs. It seems a lot of people must like that guy or that woman. So that's an okay way to go. On issue ones like this or negative attacks sort of, I don't know how much effect they have of themselves. The key question is whether the proliferation of those signs give people permission to come to conclusions they were inclined to come to already. So if people are saying, you know what, Governor Raimondo has not been doing a good job, but what else am I going to do? Seeing signs that say anybody but Raimondo could start to give people permission to themselves to not support her, whether for, you know, woman governor reasons or for good Democrat, loyal Democrat reasons or what have you. If those signs are out there and that starts to give a theme to the race, it could have an effect in how people vote at the end.
I think you're right. And also, as far as Rep. Morgan, I agree with you. There's definitely a tinge of there are some people that were with Ken Block that then they were obviously very disappointed when he lost the primary 4 years ago to Cranston Mayor Alan Fung. They are very vocal on Twitter. You know, there's no difference between the two of them, which that's a ridiculous statement. I mean, I don't think that's going to sell that there's no difference. You know, they're very anti-Fung. There's definitely an anyone but Fung feeling amongst some Republicans. But I think the anyone but Gina sentiment trumps that. And you do get these people that are, they're kind of reminiscent of, you know, after World War II, they'd find these Japanese soldiers still out on these islands. They didn't know the war was over. There's still, you know, at least one Republican I can name that they were with Ken Block. They're still bitter he lost. And all they do is use, you know, Twitter and social media to try to attack Cranston Mayor Alan Fung, because they never got over the Block election. So to try to say that there's no difference between, for instance, Cranston Mayor Alan Fung and Gina Raimondo, I mean, that's ridiculous. I mean, there's huge differences between Governor Raimondo and all three gubernatorial candidates. So, folks, he is the general editor, managing editor, OceanStateCurrent.com. He's Justin Katz. Justin, great as always, and we'll talk to you again.
Thanks, John, and I'm looking forward to the debate.
Yeah, no, I am as well. Thank you very much, Justin. Folks, and again, that debate is coming up this Friday. It'll be right here on the John DePietro Show, featuring Cranston Mayor Alan Fung, Representative Patricia Morgan, and also businessman Giovanni Ferrosi, right here. The only debate where you're going to hear all three candidates, and the debate will be commercial-free, sponsored by John Hazen White Jr. All right, it's John DePietro. It is the John DePietro Show. With that, phone lines are open. 766-1380. I'm also seeing right now, boy, we had a very serious situation. I don't think it's your imagination. It's not our imagination. There is definitely an uptick with people that are attacking law enforcement. And it happened in Attleboro this morning. Suspect and officer involved shooting undergoes surgery. But you had an officer who was shot in Attleboro. It's a major, major story. And it seemingly, Attleboro police chief is calling it an act of God. Two of his police officers survived a Monday morning shooting. Officers initially responded to reports of a man inside a church with a firearm. When officers encountered the man on Newport Avenue shortly before 7 o'clock, the suspect, who they describe only as a man from Coventry, opened fire on two police cruisers. Bullets went through the windshield into the headrest of the driver's seat. One officer had to dive out of the moving patrol car as bullets came flying through. Had the officers, in my opinion, not take evasive action so instinctively quickly, they probably would have succumbed or been dead or definitely not with us today. Sheer act of God, the chief said. I'm very proud of them. Two officers involved were not hit, but said they were taken to the hospital out of an abundance of caution. One of the officers suffered minor injuries when he dove out of the cruisers. Both have since been released. Suspect was shot several times, taken to Rhode Island Hospital. He's in surgery. The suspect will be charged with attempted murder. So there is definitely, you had the shooting in Woonsocket. You obviously had the fatal shooting in Yarmouth. There is definitely, do you notice that? There is definitely an attitude right now, and this is so dangerous for law enforcement. There used to be a time where, I don't know whether it's drug-related. It is people like Senator Elizabeth Warren saying that the justice system is racist, that the progressives are so anti-law enforcement. But there is definitely an attitude now where in the past, anytime a police officer used to show up on the scene, someone with a gun would immediately just drop the gun. That is certainly not happening these days. No question about it, but law enforcement folks, they're the ones out there, right? First line of defense, they're our urban soldiers defending people, putting themselves in, and something as odd as a man at 7 o'clock in the morning from Coventry, why is he in a church in Attleboro with a weapon, and then why does he fire at police 7 o'clock on a Monday morning? Very, very strange story. All right, 766-1380, thank God the police are okay. But a man opens fires in Attleboro officers. Terrible. 766-1380. Hey, I want to remind you, at any time, you never know when you could be in an accident. And if you ever find yourself in an accident, call West Fountain Auto Body. It's Kenny. It's Patricia. It's West Fountain Auto Body. Call them 272-3340. 272-3340 West Fountain Auto Body. But you have to call them first. At West Fountain, they're going to work for you, not the insurance company. West Fountain Auto Body,
272-3340. 272-3340 West Fountain Auto Body. Whether it's a small dent or nearly totaled vehicle, you can depend on West Fountain Auto Body. Automotive painting, refinishing, it's truly an art. At West Fountain Auto Body, they'll repair your vehicle showroom-like condition. If you're ever in an accident, and it can happen, you have people that are texting and driving, or drunk drivers, or people high on drugs, or illegals. If you ever find yourself in an accident, call West Fountain Auto Body, 272-3340, 272-3340 for West Fountain Auto Body. And I suggest keep their number handy in your glove box, in your car. And then if you're ever in an accident, and a lot of times people don't realize the tow trucks immediately show up, tell them, let's get this vehicle over to West Fountain Auto Body, and then call Kenny and Patricia right away. Call them first. They'll handle everything for you. West Fountain Auto Body, 272-3340, 272-3340 for West Fountain Auto Body. It's John DePietro. This is the John DePietro Show. 766-1380, 766-1380 on this Monday.
Self-proclaimed environmentalist Sheldon Whitehouse all of a sudden supports putting a massive fossil fuel power plant right in Burrville. Maybe the $106,000 he received from the companies and the lobbyists behind the power plant helped him make up his mind. Seems like Sheldon Whitehouse went to the highest bidder.
I'm Bob Flanders. Rhode Island deserves a better U.S. Senator, and I approve this message.
Paid for by Flanders for U.S. Senate.
Water Filter Company. Folks, call Water Filter Company today at 294-2400. 401-294-2400 for Water Filter Company. It's Steve and Alice, a Rhode Island success story since 1986. It's Water Filter Company, serving Rhode Island and Massachusetts. It's Water Filter Company. Remember, bottled water is an unregulated industry. Instead, call Water Filter Company today at 401-294-2400. Do what I did. Have a water filter installed in your home. Folks, think of just in your home the amount of, the people that have old rusted pipes. Or you have, there's lead, there's chlorine, there's all kinds of what they say is acceptable contamination. Instead, call Water Filter Company, and you can have a water filter installed in your home. It takes less than it takes less than 10 minutes, and it's Water Filter Company, serving Rhode Island and Massachusetts. Water Filter Company. Call them today. 294-2400. 294-2400. Water Filter Company. It's Steve. It's Alice. Remember, bottled water is an unregulated industry. Instead, you can depend on Water Filter Company today. 401-294-2400. For the cleanest drinking water in your home. Forget about it. Sometimes water can have an odor or a color. Call Water Filter Company. 401-294-2400 for Water Filter Company.
You're not like anyone else, and neither is your company. Which is why at BankRI, our commercial banking doesn't treat you like anyone else. With signature commercial banking from BankRI, you'll find a premier set of services, flexible lending options, and the kind of personalized attention that makes our commercial banking unlike, well, anyone else. Signature commercial banking only from BankRI. Member FDIC, equal housing lender.
Well, folks, remember J.Cale Engineering. Oh, it is brutal today. It doesn't have to be that way. You could be nice and comfortable in your own home or business with J.Cale Engineering. Central Air, it's more affordable than you think. Central Air from J.Cale Engineering. Call them today. Free estimate. Estimates are free. Financing is available. Highest rebates in the market. J.Cale Engineering, 401 401- 401-351-7600. 401-351-7600 for JKL Engineering. With JKL, for 50 years, JKL's reputation is second to none, especially for technical expertise and customer satisfaction. JKL is an approved National Grid VPI installer. JKL also a Navient certified factory dealer. Call JKL Engineering today. You know, it's simple. With JKL Engineering, you're going to be nice and cool in your home or business in the summertime, and then you're going to be nice and warm in the wintertime. Call JKL Engineering, 401-351-7600. 401-351-7600 for JKL Engineering.
You are listening to the John DePietro Show on 99.9 FM and 1380 AM. News Talk WNRI.
All right, folks, and we're back on this Monday. Good afternoon. It's Juan. It's John DePietro. It is the John DePietro Show. So quite a turn of events with the construction on the bridge, 195. I also noticed Governor Raimondo, Rhode Island governor's ordered flags lowered for John McCain. Again, incredible coverage over the course of the weekend of his death, although I think some of it had to do with the fact that they're trying to compare John McCain, Senator McCain, to President Trump in many ways. I did have the opportunity. I interviewed Senator John McCain in 2000 when he was running against then Governor Bush in the primary. And certainly one of a kind. And but I did find that a lot of the coverage was almost, they were trying to build up Senator McCain, but at the same time trying to take jabs at President Trump. Folks, Wednesday, most people go back to school. Not everybody, but Wednesday, most people go back to school. You know, more and more. You had the shooting in Florida over the weekend. You had a man firing in the Attleboro police. People are realizing it is so important to have a proper cell phone. It's not just a toy. It's a tool. So you can communicate, your family can communicate with your children, grandchildren, and the person that leads the way in making sure you can have the best deal is our friend Sal with Metro PCS. Good afternoon, Sal.
There you are, JD. Good afternoon.
Sal, more and more, you know, in times of, can you imagine last night someone stuck, there were people in traffic for 3 hours as they were repaving those roads. Can you imagine sitting there for 3 hours and not having a cell phone or the proper cell phone in order to communicate with friends and family?
You're absolutely right. I mean, I was going to use that as an example. You don't have to go too far because I've gotten caught in that Gainesville Street traffic a couple times where I had to call back to the stores to let them know I'm running late. And the crappy part about it, I have a vendor out that in that direction where I have to buy products from. And it's affecting business in a small way. I don't make a big deal about it, but it does stink because I have to go over the bridge. I got to come back. I got to call the stores. I got to let them know I'm coming. I'm stuck in this traffic. So it's been a hell of a nuisance. So but you're right. Proper communication is key in times, in situations like that. And right now, Metro PCS, we have a fantastic deal for the whole family. Small family or small businesses is a great opportunity for you. Just right now when you switch, you're going to get 4 lines of unlimited high-speed data for just $100 period. Four lines with no data caps, $100 period, tax included, when you switch to Metro PCS. Plus, on top of that, you're going to receive 4 free smartphones from great brands like Motorola, Samsung, and LG when you switch to Metro PCS. This is a limited time offer. This is not going to last forever. Just like summer, everything's going to come to an end. This is going to come to an end, so you've got to make the switch to Metro PCS. 4 lines, $100 period, with 4 free phones when you make the switch to Metro PCS. You did it. Everyone's doing it. Your listeners have been reaching out to me. This is the perfect opportunity to switch to Metro PCS.
You know, Sal, it's incredible. And also, I want people to understand that these new phones, they also, not only are these tremendous free phones they get, but it's the extra data that is so important.
It's very important, the data, because if you have a data-limited plan, you're going to get the buffering, the slowing down. I had a customer this morning she had an older plan where she had a capped amount of 4G internet. And, you know, she was complaining that she couldn't download her games and her Candy Crush, and she couldn't play it anymore because the speed, that you need that speed to do the certain things, such as playing games and doing movies on YouTube or Hulu or Netflix. The speed is so important. You want to be in the high-speed lane. You don't want your phone to be comparable to being in the Gato Street traffic, being slow and stuck in a slow lane. So you want to be in the high-speed lane, cruising along, and we have that perfect opportunity for you to make the switch. Four lines, $100, period. With no data caps when you switch to Metro PCS.
I like that. You don't want to be in this. You don't want to be in the slow lane like the Gano Street on 195. You want to be in the high speed lane.
You got that Gano Street phone. That's right. You don't want to be in that slow. The slow speed. You want to be in the high speed lane. It's true though. You don't want that slow speed. And my brother's always using that analogy in the stores. You don't want to be in the slow lane. You want to be in the high speed cruising on your smartphone without any limitations, and you don't want anything slowing you down.
Folks, Sal has, good afternoon to Suzanne Ross Walker, and there's Jaron. Sal has four great locations, and Sal, walk people through how they can either call you. Hello there, Frank. Hope all is well. Yes. How can people get in touch with you in your four great locations?
Sure. First location, 989 Manton Avenue in Providence, right next to the Stop and Shop, right at the bottom of Foothill Avenue. We have 1852 Smith Street in North Providence, right on Smith Street or Route 44, right outside of Centerdale, right next to Salon d'Italia. We have 1503 Atwood Avenue, where the turkeys come and hang out. That's right next to Town Hall. You got Burger King on one side. We're on the opposite side, right next to Town Hall. And we have 1027 Cranston Street in Cranston, right next to the Cranston Senior Center, right in front of the Aldi and the Rite Aid. And as always, you can always reach me by calling the store at 401-332-5051. 332-5051. If you have questions regarding the promotion, maybe you have a Bluetooth issue, if you want to know how the turkeys are doing, call me, 332-5051.
It's amazing, Sal. The turkeys are virtually the last one. They just couldn't get that last one. It vanished.
Yeah. Yeah, it really has. And people have to, we had a customer, like, you know, they came looking for me the other day. Where's Sal? I got a turkey update. You know, so it ended up being nothing. The turkey, there was no turkey. It was just a bird. It was a regular bird. So
regular bird.
It was
bird.
A false alarm. So, right. Yeah, it's a regular bird.
All right, folks, call Sal, 332-5051, 332-5051. It's Sal in Metro PCS.
Rhode Island drivers turn. Without their blinkers, they turn, turn, turn. And it's fine in their mind anytime.
This is the late Billy Mitchell.
They also speed up for a yellow light. Don't use their headlights when it's dark at night. Stop at a corner when there's no sign in sight. Turn left on red when they should be turned.
With DOT.
Rhode Island drivers turn, turn.
It wasn't their fault this time.
Slam on their brakes when they turn, turn, turn.
What changed?
Then they creep across the street and take their time. They fall asleep when traffic lights change. Don't dim their high.
All right, folks, it's John DePietro. Listening, stay cool this Monday. We're back tomorrow at 11. Debate coming up on Friday. John Dion is next, right after the news, right here. It's AM 1380 and 99.9 FM. And it's WNRI. Try to stay cool today and tomorrow.
They are distracted by everything under heaven. They talk on
WNRI Woonsocket.
WNRI.